want to look at is areas in the, the accomplishments of being patient. And we've shared about patience. And I know as I look out over everyone that's here today, you all are a patient bunch of people, aren't you? Are you really? Are you willing to wait at least a day or two for the Lord to answer your prayer? Are you willing to wait a week or two for the Lord to unveil the true calling on your life and to take you from where you're at today and what He has put into you to where He wants to take you? This was stirring throughout this week. And earlier on, we had one of the pastor's meetings I was at this week. The pastor of a church began to share, and this church is doing some phenomenal things for being a small church and out in the cornfields in Illinois, doing some tremendous evangelism and crusades over in the Philippines. Not just one crusade, but like five crusades, I think, going on. One, two, three, four, five within, I think, Manila, the capital of the Philippines, I think. Anyway, the major city of Philippines. And then after that, they're going to branch out and go into the other towns and all that are spread around. Doing crusades, receiving, you know, sharing the gospel, having people receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. But this all is coming, and this church is a small church, and yeah, it's growing now, but it started out, and this pastor was talking this past week. He says, you know, the church was planted back like in the mid-80s, and he said it was like after 25 years, or was it 30? Close to, it's only been in the last couple of years, maybe the last three or four, really, 5 years, I don't know, that the church has really come into what he believes God had planted that church there for. Now, can you imagine that back in that time frame in the 80s that this church was opened up and put together out in a cornfield in somewhere in Illinois in a small town, and then 25 to 30 years later, now what they're capable of and what God is using them and elevated them into doing. It took time, didn't it? It took growing. It took waiting upon the Lord. It took patience. It took endurance. It took perseverance. It takes all of these things that we hear and read about in the Bible that we as followers of Christ need to be patient, don't we? Because I'm jumping ahead of myself, but in 2 Peter, I think where it says, you know, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. So with that concept, it just kind of messes you up a little bit on His timing, because we want to put it to our timing, our calendar, our clock, you know, and how we operate things. So hearing what that pastor shared on Wednesday, hearing then again about what happened this past week, and it all started kind of rolling within me that as an individual, each one of us, we've got to be patient and wait upon the Lord. The Word of God also says that He is a patient God, long-suffering, amen. Because look at some of you guys. How long did it take for Him to crack you and get into you? Patience, though, He has. And so we, as followers, we need that patience. We've got to understand that there is a bigger scheme of things in our life than just being who you are today. God has something powerful in each and every one of you, and maybe some of you have maybe obtained that at a point right now at a level, but maybe there's still more in there to come out, amen. But it's not like we have arrived, so it takes the patience, endurance, perseverance where we're at, and that's not always easy, is it? Because usually when you find that you go against struggles and trials and problems, and it just wants to beat you down a little bit. But you got to remain strong. You got to remain faithful. You got to be obedient. You got to know that God has something for you because you are a special person in His kingdom. Amen. How many here believe that you're a special person in His kingdom? Amen. Amen. He loves you. So as we thought of patience and all that, this past week in the news, has anybody... Where would I be coming from and talking about patience that came out of the news this past week? Something about over in Germany, they shot this rocket off, and they've been waiting for it to get to this comet for 10 years. patience. So that tells me that man does have patience if we put our mind to it. Not only did it take 10 years to get there, as I was doing some reading on this past couple of days, actually this process, this project has been in the works for guess how many years? 25 years. 25 years. Some of the people that started on this project retired, have died, have gone on. But there are those that came in their place that did what? To fulfill that vision, to fulfill what they wanted at the end result. So I know some of you are thinking like, well, big deal, 10 years. This thing, I'm just going to run through. These things will just astound me. My mind just doesn't comprehend these things. You know, some of you might, but I'm in awe. The space probe lands on this comet that was 310 million miles from Earth. That's not just across town. 310 million miles from Earth. The rocket was launched in 2004. It reached the comet back in August of this year, and it's just been tracking it since then, evidently. You know, it got out there by August of this year. It finally reached it, and now they're kind of going along with it. So the mission took, I already said, 25 years. Now this rocket traveled a total of 6.4. This thing traveled a total of 6.4 billion miles. Have I just caused your mind to tilt and your brain go ding 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 ding? Mine did when I read this stuff. But then I'm in awe because of the knowledge and the wisdom and what man is doing, because of God puts this stuff in people, amen. It's a phenomenal thing. So now this rocket has traveled 6.4 billion miles to rendezvous with this comet. Now this probe that landed on this comet, how big was it? The size of a modern day washing machine. You know, a modern day washing machine, maybe a front load. The size of a modern day washing machine. It had to land on the comet that is only approximately 2.5 miles in diameter. 2.5 miles in diameter, the size of a washing machine, 310 million miles from Earth. Piece of cake. You guys could do that with a joystick, couldn't you? Didn't you used to play Asteroids on, you know, these game consoles? You know? Got these little spaceships flying around. I can do it. Now, you're landing this washing machine size probe on a satellite, or this comet that's like 2.5 miles in diameter, and guess how fast this thing is flying through the space? 40,000 miles per hour. I got this off the internet. It's got to be true. I went through different sources. I think they were pretty close to the same thing, you know. 40,000 miles an hour is traveling, 310 million miles away from where we're sitting on planet Earth. We got men and women in a control room that's adjusting and monitoring this thing, adjusting the trajectory and all these things that far. Now, it's pretty simple, because when I do a course correction from here to Tracy, he hears it, what? Instantly. This takes about 28 minutes for them to do anything. So that was the whole thing of them landing and some of the processes that they go through, is that for them to hit a button that says turn left, beep, it takes 28 minutes for that to fly through space at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. It takes 28 minutes thereabouts for that command to get to that probe, for it to do its thing. If it does its thing and responds back with an answer, it takes another 28 minutes for that to come back. That's where I was at, Lou. I said, them guys have to have patience, because I would press that button and say, jettison, turn, so much burn power, so much this, psh, now, I want it done now. And now I got to go, I wonder if it even did it. I don't know. I got 28 minutes to wait to find out. Not only that, it's really about, what, 56 minutes, because it's got 28 minutes to go back, does its thing, 28 minutes to come back to you to tell you that what you said, if it was done or not. A whole almost hour you're sitting there having a cup of coffee. I guess. I don't know. What do you do for almost an hour waiting for your command to come back to see if the thing even took it? So that was some of the things that they have dealt with. This is crazy, man. It's just mind-boggling. But this is stuff of space, you know, and what they're finding out there. This is the first time that any probe has ever landed on a comet. Wow. So my contentions or my thoughts to you out here is that man can wait if they're willing to wait. If they know that the ultimate goal out there is what they want to accomplish, they will wait 10 years, 25 years, whatever it is, and that's what we find in this level of space travel, that we will wait for that response. Now, the thing is while they're waiting for this for 10 years or whatever the case might be, 25 years, do you think that after they shot that rocket, let's just go to the 10-year plan. They shot it off in 2004. Do you think from then on they said, well, that's done. Now we can go on and do something else, or we can file our nails, or we can paint the office, or we can do whatever? No. I'm sure they had to stay in touch with it. They had to follow it. They had to do things. They had to stay hooked up to that rocket as it's going through space. I don't know how many times it went around the Earth and the Moon or Sun or something like that until it had to get enough speed to be able to sling it fast enough to catch up to that rocket or that comet. All these things were figured out. But what they had to do, though, just because that rocket was shot in 2004 and they weren't going to have the end result until maybe 10 years later, I got a suspicion they were busy at work of doing the space service business. So now we bring it into the spiritual side and what God has each and every one of us to do. Where has God shot you into? And would you be found, like Jesus said, I'm doing my Father's business? Or because you feel that it is taking too long for God to unveil and reveal maybe the totality of what he wants out of you, that you've gotten bored with God, you've gotten bored with church, you've gotten bored with your walk with God, and so you put it aside because you said, my gosh, whatever God wants to do with me, I've been serving him for the last 10 or 15 years or the last 3 years, or whatever the case might be, and it's not come about. I'm getting bored. There's got to be something else that I can do, and you put God on the shelf because you don't have the patience to wait on what he wants to fulfill in your life. Because with God, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. Now, I'm not going to say we're all going to live to be 1,000 years old, because normally our lifespan is like, you know, 75 to 90 or 80 to 92 or whatever the case might be. I hope my kids are ready, because I'm claiming 120. Hallelujah. Amen to that, brother. I'm going to stick around, man. But it's going to take patience and endurance and perseverance to accomplish what God wants in my life. The same for your life. It's not going to be maybe just a short 1, 2, 3 step and you've accomplished everything that God has for you, and now you can rest on your laurels and say, hallelujah, I've arrived at what God wanted me to do. Could very well be that you will be used and God will work through you basically until you're called to heaven. He's got work to do in us. Maybe not what it was in time and all that was back when we were younger, but throughout our life, God will continue to use us and work through us. But I want to look at our life just in that concept of time, to where he has called something out of us that we need to arrive at. And I believe that we use God's word to help us stay on the path, on that trajectory of where God wants to send us. As God shot you out of the cannon and he said, here you go. I've got that plan and purpose for you. I've got to stay in that trajectory. I've got to stay in that line that he shoots me off to. How do I do that? Prayer. Staying close to God. Reading his word. When I get discouraged, read his word. When I get discouraged, give him praise. whenever, whatever, I stay hooked up to him. And let him do what he needs to do. Because you know what? There's times that he's maybe had to course correct me on my path with him. How about you? Has anybody ever got right on that line with God and never deviated from it? Generally, we kind of, you know. Life has a way of doing that with us because we're here in life and we're enjoying this time. And so, you know, God's got a plan for us going this way, and something happens career-wise or family-wise or whatever the case might be, and we find that, well, I'm going to have to kind of alter my course a little bit over this way now. And it's not to say when you do that that you've totally turned your back on God, but it might take some time to where God just kind of, okay, now through his word, through a prophecy, through someone praying over you, for someone coming up to you and maybe sharing a word of knowledge to you, whatever the case might be, whatever God uses to cause you to have a course correction to get back to where he wants you, hallelujah, let it be. Because I want to be on his course. How about you? I want to be flying and going the direction that he wants me to go, and it's not always easy. Matter of fact, it's never easy. Because there's that flesh in us, and there's times that we've got to get serious with him to the point to where we say, okay, Lord, it is now all for, all, what was that song we just had? All in all. All, he's my all in all. We've got to get to that daily. Our walk with God has to be, Lord, you're my all in all. And that takes patience. Takes us waiting at times on the Lord. So now you're asking, what's this got to do with my walk with God? And it's going to be like, well, what's he going to do with my life? Some ideas come to mind about this. Some of the scriptures and the things that he's got in there come to mind. Like what? They that do what upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait. Isaiah 40:31. Or what about being patient in tribulation? Romans 12:12. Anybody going through tribulations? Be patient in tribulations. Be patient with all, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Be patient with all. You got to be patient with me. I hope so. And I've got to be patient with you. It's a two-way street. And James, the big point there in James 5, 7, 8, 7 to 8 says to be patient until the coming of the Lord. We have this throughout the Word of God of areas of long-suffering, perseverance, endurance. These, do you not think that man in those times when they shot this space probe off that they didn't have to have perseverance and endurance and all that? They had to. And they had to stay attentive to what was the outcome of what they wanted, but to get that thing out there 310 million miles or whatever from Earth, or billion or million or whatever, it took time. Like I said, there were some people that probably, in the course of that whole thing, maybe retired from that agency. New person shows up to work, you know, 20 years ago. Yeah, I'm just Ryan. What's my task? Well, we shot a rocket off 5 years ago. Or, you know, we're not shot it 5 years. We're working on this program. It's like 25 years, you know, total. So, you know, 5 years into it, they're saying, well, here's our plan. This is what we're wanting to do. I'm retiring here. You take it from here and work with it. What? It's like, when are we going to shoot this thing off? Next week? No. Got a little ways to go. You know? So if it took 10 years, 25, so it was like 15 years of just preparation before this thing really took off. That guy, the pastor talking about that church, that little church in the cornfield in Illinois, you know, we were there like 25 years before God really began to unveil and begin to really moving in his plan for us. It's like, wow. It's beneficial for us to wait upon the Lord and not push it and not strive to do something that's not of the Lord because it's something that man wants, you know, something that I desire, and if I desire it, I'm going to make it work. I don't care what it costs. You better care what it costs. Could cost your health, could cost friendship, could do whatever. When it's done, you know, out of the will of God, when it's done away from the timing of God, sometimes out of God's grace and mercy, he might allow part of it to be accomplished, but then it's not fully accomplished, and then you find that what have you done is nothing but got frustration. Because it wasn't fully accomplished by what God wanted it done. It was accomplished by what man thought God wanted it done by, and God and man got in the way of God. It's like, Lord, not your will, but my will, Lord, is going to be done in this. Well, I think we got a discussion to go to there. Because like he did with Job, wasn't it? Or somebody there when God, and he was just, you know, just on God. And God said, well, where were you when I put, you know, this thing together? Where were you when I created this? Where were you? Where? I don't know. I wasn't around, God. Okay. It's you. We find that if something that is worth having, don't you find that it's worth waiting for in all actuality? Now, we might want to jump ahead, you know, but usually what does it say? Good things come to those that wait. Sometimes when we force the issue, when we force the whatever it is, it's kind of good in the beginning, but then it's like, well, you know what? It didn't turn out the way I thought. Maybe I should have waited a little bit and took some time. We find that our walk with the Lord is one of waiting. Anybody been here waiting with the Lord? Not too many times have I, personally, had an answer from God the instant that I prayed it. Has anybody here? Generally, it's been some time working there. Or he has showed me something that I was to do or to begin to walk out in my life, and suddenly, there it was. No, it didn't happen that way. I'm sure as he has opened up and showed you things, maybe in visions or dreams or somebody shared a word of knowledge or confirmation or whatever, that you, and a lot of it is just by your time with the Lord that you sense his leading, but it takes the time to develop these things. It takes his time, not my time. So no, there wasn't a suddenly really in the things that I have done so far with the things with my God. How about you? It's been a time of working it out, a time of trusting, a time of believing, a time of faith building, a time of faith building, a time of faith building to grow, to develop, to go up that next notch. No, I see most of our time with God is more on the side of patience and waiting, endurance and perseverance. That's what he's looking at for us. Do you have enough trust in God that you can wait on him to take care of your situation? Or do you want to take care of your situation and then when it all hits the fan and it didn't go right, now you're willing to go to God and say, okay, God, come in. Boy, do I have a mess. The Lord would probably say, yes, Tim, you do. And if you would have just been patient about it and not pushed it, I had the plans worked out for it. But you've caused a little bit of more aggravation than really what should have been. Our frustration, our hurt, our pain, our suffering, whatever it might be. Because I was not able or not willing to wait upon the Lord. Patience is defined as being able to remain calm and not become annoyed. Oh. Patience is able to remain calm and not become annoyed when waiting for a long time or when dealing with a problem or difficult people. It's done in a careful way over a long period of time without hurrying. Patience. You find, generally, unless it's, you know, generally in, say, like the fire department or even the police department, anybody in emergency services, when they're responding to a situation that is of that of an emergency, I've seen fire trucks pull up to scenes or fires and things like that, and the guys get out of the truck, and they're doing their job, and they're walking, and they're doing this and all this. But I've never really seen them run with a hose, per se, or get to the back of the truck and run, and they're just opening doors and throwing things out. They are systematically going through how to respond to an emergency. That's what they train on. That's what they train for. Each one on that truck has an assigned position. You hook up the hose. You get the wrench. You turn the hydrant on. You charge up the system. You do. All of them have what? An assigned task for when they get called out to an emergency, that it's clockwork. Dun, 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 dun. Because, could you imagine if everybody wasn't trained and they just all, we all knew that when we get called out on a fire, the one thing, the objective is to do what? Put the fire out. And you get to the fire and all of a sudden everybody jumps out and you got four guys grabbing the same hose. Give me it, I'll take it. No, you go. No, you. You got five guys grabbing the wrench for the hydrant. You got, you know, whatever the case might be. They're all doing it. They're just a shambles of what needs to be done. But they're trained and they systematically and they walk because they know that if they run or they do too much in a hurry, there's a chance that they could get hurt. You know, we're on the sideline going, hurry up, can't you go any faster? You know? That's the way we are with God. We get into a situation, and rather than let God work it out in our lives, we jump off of this thing, and we just start running around, trying to take care of it, trying to put out the fire, and trying to take care of this, and trying to take care of that. And before you know it, we're running in circles. And we may not have accomplished what we were supposed to have accomplished, but we did something. We did something, Lord, but the Lord said, but I could have done it a whole lot easier, Tim, if you would have been more patient with me and done what I had asked you to do. Patience, able to remain calm, not become annoyed when waiting for a long time or when dealing with problems or difficult people. Anybody had a problem you had to deal with? We won't go to the difficult people. Perseverance, it's the steadfast effort to follow God's commands and to do His work. The New Testament makes it clear that faith alone can save, but it makes it equally clear that perseverance in doing good works is the greatest indication that an individual's faith is genuine. 1 Corinthians 15, Amplified says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Amen. You got a victory. Are you claiming it? Or do you think you're beaten down and you're lost and it's no, you know, you're not going to win? No, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. In brackets there, victory makes us conquerors through Tim's way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives Tim the victory, makes Tim a conqueror through Jesus. Amen. That's where, if you're going to go to battle and you've got deal and things you're dealing with out there, you better have Christ on your side. You better have God there and let Him. The battle is mine, says the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm. What is it to be firm? Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Always being superior. Excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. That tells me that when I'm abounding in the work of the Lord, that I've got it, I need, I should do more than just enough to get by. We got people out in the workforce today that they will do just enough to do what? Get by. I ain't going to do any more. I'm only going to do what I'm responsible for, and that's where I stop. Generally, those people don't get promoted. You see, those that get promoted that go to that point and do what they're to do, and then they take that extra initiative and they do it even better. And then management, supervisor, bosses, the owners of the company, whatever the case might be, they see that in that person, that character of that individual, and they say, there's something special in you, and I'm going to promote you into something of greater. We do the work of the Lord not just to fulfill what the Lord wants to do in me, but I need to do it superior. I need to do excelling in the things that God wants me to do, not just me. This is for you too. Hello. You need to excel exactly in what the Lord has asked you to do, not just get to that point and just get by. The Lord will love you for it, but don't you want the attaboys from the Lord? Don't you want the Lord to say, wow, that's what I want? Well, I've got to be willing to excel, be superior, do more for the service of the Lord. Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It's not futile. Basically, it tells us that it's never wasted or of no purpose when you do things for the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is talking about, you know, Christians prove their deep appreciation for God's saving grace as God loves us, as He's there for us. There's a song, there's something coming through up here. As a result of perseverance, the Christian can expect not only to enhance the strength of the church, but also build up the strength of character. See, when we work as a church, we are as one. We are the church is within us. We come together corporately, we're a body. As we build ourselves up and we come together, we build the church up. A lot of times, I think people come to church, they want the church to build them up so they don't have to do anything, and then they can go out for the rest of the week, and then they become deflated because they're not building themselves up individually. They come to the church to get a fix, and I'm going to tell you, an hour and 20-minute message is not going to fix you for the whole week. Because I'm going to tell you, what you hear today, probably by Monday at 1:52 p.m., you've just wore it out. Now what are you going to do for the rest of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? You're going to be defeated, frustrated, upset, mad, dejected, talking up to God like, what's going on, God? I'm a child of yours, and look at the aggravation. Look at this thing that I've got to go through on this Thursday. I thought I was a child of yours. Well, you only got an hour and 20 minutes of pep talk and encouragement and something from the Word of God. How long do you think that's going to last? Do you guys only eat on Sundays and you don't eat for the rest of the week? Physical food? I don't. I eat pretty well three times a day, sometimes five times a day. You know, that'd be foolishness for us to think that I only have to eat one meal a week and have one cup of water a week, and that sustains my body for the rest of the 7 days. But we think when I go to church that God can do, and I know God can do a quick work, and He's phenomenal, and He can do all kinds of things, but for an hour and 20 minutes, and hey, you know, if you come to Sunday school, you're here at 9:30, man, 9:30 to noon, that's a long time out of somebody's life. I mean, come on, how much more time do you need to give to God? You're really not giving it to God. What you're doing is you're really concerned and about yourself being filled with God. And you can be filled with God at home and in the car and at work and all that. I'm not saying that. But to skip out on this and not attend that or not to be a part of that and not to say this and I don't need that. Oh, that's more for them. Or that's for the other guy, you know. Well, that's why you have some frustrations. That's why we come and we have times of building up our patience and understanding and maturing and this just continues to go on. But I guess what I want to do is say this, that being aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is not wasted. When you serve Him out in the job, when He serve Him out where He's got you, it's accomplishing tremendous things you may not even see. But in His kingdom, it's, you know, he's taking that and he's developing it and he's going to do more with it. Amen. Because you shared something with somebody that, guess what? 2 days later, another person from the kingdom, you may not even know this person, but somebody 3 days later from the kingdom of God, you know, we're all on the same page if we're the kingdom of God and Christ is our Lord. You know, he's coming to this point to where he's going to share something with that person, and it ties in with what you shared, and pretty soon, guess what? Things are being accomplished in that one person's life. But had you missed it, and that other person comes along and shares it, then it's kind of like discombobulated. Maybe it didn't come in the order that God was hoping because you didn't labor in the Lord. You didn't do what the Lord asked you to do because you didn't want to have time to do that. I don't know. It's just some things to throw out there to think about. As far as perseverance, in Romans 5, 3-4, it says, "And not only that, but also we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Another way, perseverance, patience, you know, all these things. Patience is what the Living Bible would say. So not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. And perseverance, our patience, character, and character, hope. That tells me that if we can't be patient and produce patience in us, what does that do to our character? What does that do about our hope? Because it says here, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, and there's tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." So there's a purpose in the things that we go through. Life is not always fun, is it? Life has its ups and downs. But I believe as a child of God, you will have more ups than downs. I just believe that because my Lord loves me. I'll still have some down days, down times, frustration things. But when those things come and all that, you know what I got to do? I've got to turn them over to my God. And I got to persevere. I got to have patience. I'm going through this trial. I don't understand it, Lord. It seems to be going on longer than I would want. But Father, I'm turning it over to you, and I'm asking you to take care of it, and I'm asking for your will to be done, and in your timing, you know what I can handle. We don't know what we can handle. But the Lord or God does. He knows because he created us. He put things in us. He knows that, you know, Tim, if you just hang on there and just build yourself up in the Word, stay around believers, stay around faithful people, they will help you experience this. They will help you get through this, and you will come out of it on the other side victorious. Because what did it say? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors. If he's going to make you conquerors and give you the victory, don't you have to have a battle to have a victory? You got to have frustration to have the joy. You got to go through stuff to see the hand of God move, and then you give him glory. It's only when you go through problems do you really see God shine. And he's always shining. I'm not saying that, but sometimes we lose sight of that because we get so comfortable with God when everything's going well. And if God, you know, when things start going well with us and God, sometimes he doesn't hear from us for a while. Prayer. Talking about prayer too. Praying talks about, and this kind of ties in with my thoughts and where I think the church and where the Lord is wanting us, and I don't know for sure, but with prayer, it's going to take patience. Endurance, perseverance. It's not going to happen overnight. God can do things overnight, but usually he's kind of like not an overnight God. He's kind of like a, hey, I'm going to see how you're doing. I'm going to see how strong you are. Actually, the Lord knows how strong you are, but sometimes the things that I sense and go through, that he knows how long and how strong I am, but he says, Tim, the only way you're going to know how strong you are in faith is if you go through this. And then you will see where you're at. You'll use that as a barometer. You will use that as a gauge to see how your life is with me. And if it's a struggle and I lose a little faith and all that, I've got to go to him and say, Lord, I need more faith. I need more ability to get through this. And I'm asking you to give it to me, Lord. Or help me through this. Or whatever the case might be. And I don't know how it's going to turn out, Lord, but I know that I'm going to love you. Amplified says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. Be over full of joy. Let the joy overflow. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressures and afflictions and hardships produce patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance is fortitude. You know, sometimes you got to get deep within you and in the belly of you and say, you've got to get that fortitude out of you for serving and what God wants you to do. Endurance, the fortitude develops maturity of character, the approved faith and tried integrity. Maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity. Wow. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. This is amplified Romans 5, 3 to 4. In short, Christians can expect to become closer to God. They learn that they can persevere primarily because God is intimately related to them. Hallelujah. Woo! Romans 8, 25 to 27. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. We hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit-led, Spirit-driven people. Times of prayer need to be Spirit-led, amen. Need to be hooked up to God by that of the Spirit, to where the Spirit just, because His Spirit hooks to our spirit, and there's just such a commune there of just sharing and loving and comfort and strength and warmth, and oh man, you come out of that like, wow. People come away from those things sometimes, and they're just like refreshed, or they're just, you know, they're just like, wow. I just feel like I just got a ton of bricks taken off of me, you know? You're aware as I am, the amount of people looking all around and declaring the end time is fast approaching. You know, we're hearing all that out there. And it's been doing that for centuries. As for the precise time, we're not sure for his return, but in God's word, we find this at hand. James, I would say turn there, but I'll just read it to you. It's about time for 12 o'clock here, but here in James 5, 7 to 8, I had already alluded to it in the beginning, but it says here in James 5, 7 to 8, therefore, be patient. Brethren, sisters, until the coming of the Lord. And then he gives us an example. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain. You know, that gives you a concept of what the farmer... I've already seen where they took the crop off of this field across from us a few weeks back around the time of our bonfire. They were out there tilling it up and cultivating it. And then that was on Saturday, I think Monday or Tuesday I was out here, and that guy was already planting seed already back in that field. You know, he's planted for something for down the road. It's to come up in the spring, I suppose, you know. But I like how the Lord and how in James he's using this as the farmer. It's such a good reference to look at what farmers plant with the expectation that they're going to have something down the road, but they just don't know how much, exactly when. But they plant it in faith. I don't think any farmer goes out there and plants with the assumption that I'm putting all this in the ground and it's going to come for naught. I'm going to do it anyway. They plant in faith that crop is going to grow. They have faith. They believe. They trust that, okay, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you could, I don't think a farmer could be an atheist. No, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud now. That's why I told some people I talked to myself. Maybe I should have just talked to myself there, you know. But, you know, a farmer is so into trust and faith, believing that what they sow is going to come 6 months later, 7 months. I don't know the time frame. But anyway, he's relating this to, see how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. But it says here, therefore be patient in verse 7, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. In verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord. How is your heart? Is it established? Where is your heart at today? Is your heart at peace with God and what He's doing and knowing that there is an end result? Is your heart at peace knowing that I don't really... say care when the end of the earth and trials and tribulations and all this, you know, and the Lord comes back. I just know somewhere along the line I'm going to meet my Lord. You know, I've said it before, if I die now, I'm going to meet my Lord. If I live and He returns, I'm going to meet my Lord. It's a win-win situation. But I just need to be looking at His scriptures and saying, establish your hearts. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You also be patient, establish your heart. We need to establish our heart. We need to be patient, and we just need to wait upon the Lord. While we're waiting upon the Lord, we need to be serving the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, we need to be doing it out of the best of what we got. Quickly, and we got to wrap this up, when I changed transitional jobs into ministry and all, and I tried to bargain with God, and He just has your ticket, man. He just knows how to get to you right away. Boom! Right there, you know? Because I talk to Him, and I almost like, Lord, here's my deal with you. Can we cut a deal? Hey, can we cut a deal? You know, I'll tell you what I want to do. God is not like that. I said, here's what I thought, Lord. Here's my plan. I think it works perfectly for me, you know, and what I'm doing. You know, let me stay where I'm at for another, you know, 5-10 years maybe, and I could retire, and I'd still be young, you know, and this and this and this would all be available, and blah, 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 blah. That sounded good on my time schedule. But as soon as I tried to say that to the Lord, my spirit back from Him, because of the Spirit, His Spirit talking to my spirit, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. His Spirit back to me said, Tim, you want to give me your leftovers? Cut to the chase. Cut to my heart. Cut to my heart. Establish your hearts in the things of God. If you can establish your heart to the things of God, you will make right decisions. You will make decisions that honor and please and glorify God. And so I said, no, I don't want to give you my leftovers. I don't know why He said leftovers. But I was like, I felt like at the time of my time of life that I hit to this level, okay, now I've done what I wanted in the natural, I've done it in the world, I've done for this. Now, Lord, okay, I've got all that. I got my stuff and my joy taken care of. I'm ready to come over here now, Lord, and let's go to work. Let's do service to You. He probably would have used me at that time, I trust. But back here when He said that you want to just give me your leftovers, that hurt me. Because I felt like I hurt my Father in heaven. Be like my Father on earth. Something that I said to Him that kind of ripped at His heart. And He said, Son, really? Really? So, anyway, you know how the story ended. As Paul Harvey says, and now you know the rest of the story. But that happened many years back now. This is, I don't know, 18 some odd years, 19, 20, I don't know. It's been phenomenal with God. I was like 39 and 40 when I left Walmart, and I thought I was going through midlife crisis. Well, I'm 58. So, say 38, 20-ish years or so. and we were at the church a little bit before that. So, you know, what I'm trying to share with you is patience of walking this out. As a pastor at the church here, I've got to exhibit patience with the Lord. I walk the property, I cut the property, I sit in the parking lot, I walk in the perimeter, I listen to the pines as the wind blows through them, and I look back at the church, and I look around, I look in the stars, I look at the sky, and I look at the clouds and the sun throughout the years, and I just say, Lord, what is the plan? Where are you taking us? Where is this place going with you, Father God? I hope that it's something that I can be a part of. I hope it's something that, you know, you're working through the things that you're sharing with me that I can share with the people. And, yeah, we're small and we could be bigger and all this, but, you know, whatever it takes, Lord. So, you know, you just get in that relationship and you just talk and share and say it's not what I want. I want what you want here, Lord. And I don't know, guys, if I am just to be a steward of this for a season to keep it floating and the Lord brought the cell tower and all these things that are helping financially and all that, if it's just to hold this up and God's got a plan and you know what, if it's another 10 years down the road and I'm not here and somebody else steps in and it's fulfilled, hallelujah! Because when I see my Lord, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'll look at him and go, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, when I was there, it was a hard time to get 35 people there. You call that well and good? See, in man's eyes, we look at that, and that's how we would correlate it. But with God, God looks at it with a different perspective. And so we just have to walk it out. You've got to walk out your walk with him, right? Where he's taking you, being patient. Everybody say patient. Could be 25 years now. Could be 10 years before that rocket, that little probe that he's got on you, finds that comet of what he's got for you, and you're going to land on it. Wow. Isn't that interesting to think? Now here, I got to close this up, man, but I can't. Anyway, we got to get going. But anyway, quickly, to think as I pray, as I talk to my God, is there like 28 minutes of time frame before it gets from me to him? It's immediate. I'm going further than where that little comet is out there. Even though it takes, you know, when I hit a button and says turn left, it takes, you know, 28 minutes traveling at 186,000 miles per second to get to that. I can go to my Lord right here, right now, and say, Father God, I lift up this need. I lift up that person. I lift up this situation. Lord God, I just ask you to have your way and present yourself to them and bring them to a relationship with you. Boom, 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 boom. He's hearing it, man. Isn't that awesome? We don't have to wait. Daniel, didn't it show in there like, you know, the minute you prayed, I heard it. 21 days for the answer to come back to you because of frustrations and spiritual things and battles taking place. But it says in his word, the minute you prayed it, I did what? Heard it. Don't take prayer lightly. Don't take talking to God lightly. You're talking to your Creator. You're talking to the God that formed all this and holds it in his hands. Wow. Awesome. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just